committee meeting started. It is a little past 3 o'clock now.
Still might plant some.
First item on the agenda is ordinance 13065. Let the record reflect that Council President Bullock, Councilman Sheldon, by aid is taking the notes. Councilman Street, Councilman Powers, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Smiley, we did have record that you were not going to be attending today, and I didn't get anything contrary to that, so I'm not sure if I have to mark you absent or...
Well, everybody else read the email that came that said that the Financial Advisory Committee meeting was canceled, and that was the reason I gave you that I wouldn't be here.
A long time ago, we decided we're not going to assume anything here.
I didn't think you would need me to tell you.
Councilwoman Diller, my co-chair, Retta. Can we have a motion on the minutes?
So moved.
All right. All approved?
Aye.
All right. The minutes are approved. First item on the agenda, ordinance 13065. Councilman Bell is not able to join us today, so I will be walking this through the committee meeting today. I believe the applicant is here. Rise to do your presentation. Please make sure you state your name for the record. And also, if you could, take a minute to point to this project on the state strategies map that we have conveniently located at the end of the room there.
Red tag.
Move it where you need.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. It's Larry Tarabicos, members of council, on behalf of the applicant here. So, boy, I got some help. I could have found it, but that little pink sticky is helping me, so it's right here. That's where it's located, south of Old Newcastle, just slightly south of Old Newcastle.
And what level is that falling in?
And it's not in the bay.
I'm sorry, is that it?
What level is that falling in?
I believe it's 2.
2 or 3 right in there, okay.
2, yes. Plan is up on the PowerPoint screen behind you, and just for the record, before the meeting started, I understood that Mr. Bell wasn't going to be here, and it sounds like he's not going to be here next Tuesday, so I guess Mr. President will have to present this, since the resident councilman won't be there, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we'll have it working.
Yeah,
somebody
okay.
will do it.
Well, so by way of background, Tim Anderson's here. Tim is the engineer with Karens and Associates. And the property is owned by Parkway Gravel, which is Nick Ferrara and Vincent Grego. The property was rezoned, and I think most of you were on council, back in 2007, and then the plan was recorded in 2008. This is almost identically the same plan. Really, we've changed very little, but I'll talk about that. When it was approved in 07, 08, it was approved as an age-restricted community. At the time, it was under contract with Zocola Builders, and Zocola was going to take a foray into active adult communities at the time. And then, of course, like unfortunately many builders in that time frame, they went out of business. So one of many builders. Mr. Ferrara then proceeded to attempt to market it, sell it for age-restricted. The biggest problem, and you probably have heard this already, and it's starting to come back a little bit. I'm seeing it with the age-restricted communities that I'm involved with. Some of them, Milltown Village, Village of Long Creek, some of the ones that were approved are now getting a little more active, but it's still a very slow market. The biggest reason is that none of the people have been able to sell their existing homes for the last 6-7 years. So age-restricted became unmarketable, and there was no market for this over the last 6 years. Then Greg Lingo came about, who's here. Greg runs Cornell Homes, and Cornell has been probably our most successful builder in Newcastle County for the last 6 or 7 years. And Greg has established a great niche, not only in Delaware, but in the surrounding states as well. His community behind University Plaza Shopping Center called Hudson Village, several communities in Newark, Village of Twin Lakes, Newark Preserve, also in Pike Creek, Denison Ridge. They've been having tremendous success, and especially in the 225 to 325, so moderately priced, affordable housing. And they've been very, very successful. All those communities have been a great success and have sold faster than anticipated. So Greg came along and said, look, if I can build this as non-age restricted, then I can make it happen, and I can make it happen pretty quickly. And so that's what brought us here now. So we went back to Planning Board asking only to do two things. One was to remove the note that says it has to be age-restricted, 55 and older. And the second is, I'll point here on the plan, this area here, when you enter the community, right in here, this area was going to be a clubhouse. We decided to put some excess parking here, and then as we went through the planning process, the general manager of land use, Mrs. Fogarty, and her staff thought that what we really ought to be doing is much less parking. So instead of 20 spaces, reduce it to 5 plus 5, and instead put a gazebo, landscaping, and create an amenity in that area there, which we agreed with and we think makes a lot of sense. So her concern was that when you drive into the community that you not come to just 20 parking spaces and pavement. So we're going to put some excess parking here, but a lot less, and significant landscaping and a community gathering area here now. And that'll be right as you enter the community, right by the model homes as well. So that is the changes to the plan. A couple of notes about the plan. The plan requires, because there is not public transportation available right now on Route 9, it is available. This is Langolan Boulevard. So if you take Langolan Boulevard to 13, there's a significant amount of public transportation there, but there's very little. So we're making a $5,000 contribution to DART to provide some facilities in the area. We're also making a $20,000 contribution to the improvement that took place. It's already finished at Langolan and 13. There was some highway safety improvements that were done there. We're going to make a $20,000 contribution to that. Community outreach. Let me talk about that a minute. When we did the first project, Langolan Estates is one of those communities that's been around so long, it really wasn't very active. But we had met with I'm drawing a blank now, Joe Ellis, who lives behind. He's in Langolan the Green, which is the newest community, and then Langolan Estates is Jack Mitchell. And so we had met with Jack. So we got back together with them again about 6 months ago, met with them. They were very happy with what was going on. They were really happy to see that something was going to happen, and they were very pleased with Greg and everything that Greg is presenting for the property. In the interim, with Councilman Bell's assistance, the Langolan Estates Civic Association has been reformed, and they seem pretty excited about it. So on a Saturday a couple months ago, Sophia and I drove up from Rehoboth and went to their first Civic Association meeting, and there were about 70, 80 people there, and the plan was very well received. They had a lot of questions, but it was well received. And then finally, there were two women who came to the Planning Board hearing who had concerns about drainage, and Sophia and Tim met with them at their properties about a month ago and discussed the drainage issues, and I think addressed their concerns satisfactorily. So we've had a lot of communication with the community. So that's where we are. It's an opportunity to get this moving. Good economic development, significant amount, probably. I mean, Greg will say I'm a little overambitious, but I think you'll probably see 3 or 4 homes a month sold there, and that's about $250,000, $300,000 in transfer tax in a year, a little over a year, to the county as well. So I think it's a good use of the property and a high quality as well. So that's all I have.
Okay, well, thank you. Before we move to questions from council, just let the record reflect that we've had Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Weiner, and Hollins join us. Okay, got a co-chair, Retta, Powers, and then Weiner.
Thank you. Larry, I have here on my drawing, I don't know if you have it on that one or not, or on another one, but the typical townhomes.
Yes.
Is what I'm looking at.
Yes. Well, the appearance?
Yeah. What's the facade on the outside of them? And
we have them. I did not bring them today. We presented all of that at the Planning Board hearing, all of the information. I have some of it. Sophia, you have an extra copy. But all of the townhomes, the architectural appearance of the homes, right, all of them will have stone or stucco or brick on the outside, correct? They're, this, I'm drawing a blank, 22-foot wide? 20-foot wide, the ends are, the end units are wider. Yeah, I thought so, 22s and 24.
It's the same footprint as we had previously, which is 25 feet wide.
Okay, yeah, I thought they were larger than that. Yeah, so they are 25. 25-foot wide, but you have some materials, okay. Here is... Thank you.
Same style as Hudson Village.
Yeah, if you're familiar with Hudson Village down there, it would be the same as the homes down there in Hudsonville, right behind University Plaza.
So they're going to have a typical type of roof line all the way through it. They're not going to be like a multi roof line. They're going to be all typical, one roof line through.
Yeah, there will
Why don't you stand up here, Greg, and state your name for the record.
Greg Lingo, Cornell Homes. There will be some articulation. We try to set the houses back
right.
two or
they're,
3 feet.
They're going to be staggered. In,
correct.
But the roof lines in itself, I mean, the way they are here, they're going to be basically typically straight through.
Generally, there's not a lot of topography to the site. If there is any, then sometimes we'll have a step in between the units.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Councilman Powers?
I've been in the houses over there. Okay. Also, they are building in Middletown,
yes.
townhouses. Yes. So it's a lot of the same house. I guess is what you're great. If you go to Walmart in Middletown, it'll be on the right hand side before Kohl's. What is the price range for this?
Well, I announced, I think I was correct. Planning board, we had said we're going to start in around 225, but with options and additions, you could get up to the low 300s, correct?
Correct.
That's still what you anticipate?
So that would more or less be a little more than what it is in Middletown.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes.
Comparable
probably,
to Hudson Village.
I mean, because we're starting at 199.
Yeah, Hudson Village, our average price is in that 250 range.
Okay.
And how about Twin Lakes?
Twin Lakes was a little bit higher.
Yeah.
You had said, you know, about the 55 and older not selling, but it seems to be selling more south of the canal than probably is north of the canal. That's about the only thing selling out there. A lot of, especially in the county.
Well, there's some. We're not seeing a lot of movement there, but there's some. I mean,
where the Chambers Farm is, they keep adding more and more.
Is that Odessa?
No. It's north of
okay.
Oh, so next we have Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the Land Use Department, Larry will remember this. I sponsored a 20% density boost for age-restricted housing. It should have been a 30% boost. There was a councilman at the time that opposed it. He's not here anymore. I would urge the Land Use Department to consider an extra 10% density boost for age-restricted. Of course, at the time, it was tied to also having a community house, which
right.
paralleled the federal law, which has since changed on that subject. I'm pleased that you talked about transit and walkability. You know, that's very important. We have a disconnect in our jurisdiction, our state, between being able to fund, make decisions concerning transportation, and I understand the system is you pay your fair share.
Yes.
Will there be other development that might be able to pay other fair shares so that ultimately we can see these components of mass transit build out?
Depends on what happens. You know, it's unusual. I think it's one of the reasons why, I mean, the point you're raising, I think, is probably part of why age-restricted wasn't really desirable at this location. What's going to be interesting is to see what happens with the rest of Newcastle. They've just done a master plan there, and also there's some communities in the vicinity of this area that have significant problems right now. So we don't know. I was asking that because if you'll note on the plans, we have sidewalks along all of Route 9. But they don't go anywhere.
Right.
So the question is what's going to happen with some of the surrounding properties to figure out if you will have a cohesive network of walkways, bike paths. Now, we know from the meeting we went to at the Langolan Estate Civic Association that day there was a bike marathon from Delaware City to Newcastle, and several of the state legislators were riding in it, and they were talking, and they came by the meeting because they were halfway through. But they were saying, the residents were saying, well, it's nice you're able to ride bikes. We can't most of the time because there's broken bottles and glass and trash and everything else in Route 9. Of course, they had cleaned it up for the governor that day. You know, that's the issues that you're dealing with.
Let me move on to the next question. First of all, I read the very thoughtful debate on the in the Planning Board Land Use Department recommendation.
Yes.
It was very interesting.
Yes, I agree.
Scintillating reading, if I might add. And I also happened to be at the Planning Board hearing to see that colloquy as well, because I was there for another matter. I'm real glad to see the retrofit for where the clubhouse is. I thought it was a good balance between extra parking that was needed and an amenity that will catch someone's eye as they come in. You know, and I know there's going to be an issue about not having enough parking, even for this community, because it's not going to be age restricted. That's becomes more of an imperative why we need to make transit work. Ultimately, if we're going to make that paradigm shift, we've got to make the option for transit and walkability a real option.
I agree with you completely, and I agree it was a fascinating discussion at the Planning Board on this on this subject.
I just wanted to add one of the...
if you could also add your name while you're...
Eileen Fogarty, Land Use General Manager. It was a fascinating discussion and a very strong learning lesson for me, myself, listening to the discussion about the issue of parking. So one of the modifications that has happened with this site plan, before you had just the single car and the garage with the age restriction, the garages, it was a waiver that people would use the garages to meet their parking requirement. Now you'll have double double driveways as some of the parking came out of what had been the clubhouse and the open space. So they'll have double driveways throughout. Is that correct?
Yes. Ms. Fogarty had this really novel and crazy idea that people ought to drive park in their garages. That didn't go over real well with a lot of the Planning Board members, just because our experience here in New Castle County is that these types of communities don't have enough parking. And it was a great discussion. I don't think Ms. Fogarty agreed that it was a great discussion, but Councilman Weiner and I thought it was a great discussion. I think Councilman Smiley was there too for that discussion. And You know, I think we reached a really good balance where the Planning Board members wanted to see the spaces on site, and Ms. Fogarty rightfully so pointed out that we were going to have a sort of ugly paved open space area if we didn't reduce parking in that area. So it all worked out fine, and I think now we will have sufficient parking, but it's an interesting issue, and I think Councilman Weiner's right. If we continue to live in a society that's totally dependent on motor vehicles, and that's all we'll have.
I got Councilman Powers and then Councilman Weiner, because Councilman Cartier deferred.
I agree. There's a problem in all the townhouses that I have with parking. And really, you know, as bad as it looks, it is a problem, parking, because people end up, it's hard to get through some of these subdivisions. One thing that needs to make sure it happens, that happened in Odessa National, that people can park up in front of their house and they're not parking on the sidewalk, which they shortened up some of them in Odessa National. And when the people are parking, they're parking on the sidewalk. The car won't fit there. We got to make sure that's right. And George knows where we're talking about. But
that was adjusted.
You don't agree with that?
That was adjusted by ordinance about 4 years
ago. And what was your name, sir?
George Haggerty.
It was adjusted by ordinance.
Yes.
So they brought an ordinance to us to adjust it.
To make sure that that would not happen.
Yeah, okay. That was when it was a problem. So I just, but you know, everyone that I have, and some of them George inherited from me, we got parking problems.
Well, the deed restrictions require them to buy
small cars. Councilman, you're next.
Yes, thank you. And that's a great segue, because after the ordinance was passed, Lewis Capata built Tuckaway, and again, the sidewalk was in the way of where the cars parked, and of course, we had to go in, and now there's a variance, but the cars right now are parked over the sidewalk at Tuckaway, and you can't walk around the sidewalk there. The other point I wanted to make, and I meant to make it before, is on the traffic impact study. I understand the impact is just, it's a few houses, but it's very important to understand the principle that when we shift from age-restricted housing, which has virtually no impact during peak rush hour for age-restricted, that there is an impact when we're going to have families in there. And so I duty-bound, I feel, to ask you the question about the traffic impacts there. I'll know the answer, I just want to put it on the record.
Yeah, well, and truth of the matter is in this economy, there is no difference, because 55 and older are still working. They've been forced to work, and then they're going to continue to work. 65 and older are still
working. But now the different parameters used by
theory,
Delta.
Correct. And DelDOT reviewed it, and DelDOT's conclusion was that the last study that was done was sufficient to address any additional incremental traffic increase from this project. But the agreement that had been made to do the off-site improvements, DelDOT still maintained that agreement. So we did not have to do a new study, but we did have to do the off-site improvements. So there is an off-site improvements of $20,000 there. But you're right, there is a difference, but you're still under the threshold. With 50 units, you're still under the threshold.
So are we at LOSC? Not that I'm married so much to the letters and so forth.
The closest intersection is probably in the AM peak level of service D.
D. That's in just a turning vector or the whole intersection?
Well, it's a weird intersection. It's that one at Route 9 and where 141 continues. I forget the name of the road. What does that road become there? It's not Basin Road, but where it's a three-way intersection,
mm-hmm.
Near where the old dealerships used to be that are now gone. But you have it's a stop. It's not a signalized intersection. It's near Gamba Court.
It's where the old A-back.
It's a three-way stop, so it's not a signalized intersection.
Can you email us a little bit about what DelDOT plans to do with the money that you provided them in terms of actually making those improvements?
They're done.
They are done.
Yeah,
the transit improvements.
Yes, the. Not the DART, the $5,000 to DART, we don't know what they're going to use those for.
Could you just, on the record,
we can try to find out.
Find out, yeah.
Yes, we can try to find
great,
out.
Great, thank
that.
You.
The $20,000, those improvements are done at Langolin and 13.
Right.
The time this plan was going through, they were not done yet.
And, and what's the distance for someone to walk to the main street around the corner?
To go to 13?
Yes.
Oh, it's a mile.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, it's not doable. You're looking at people are going to walk five city blocks.
You live in an area a lot smaller than yourself.
Yeah, Langolin is
a mile short, man. That's the end of my route.
Additional questions for members of council? Councilman Hollins.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm assuming that if I'm reading this, Larry, that the department is going to approve the amenity that's going to be going to the parking cut back.
Yes. Yes, I agree that we've designed something that's in there now, but it's a conditional approval of the rezoning, and the record plan will have to show the exact amenity. So we've got time to do that.
The other, I noticed that it's an investment level 3, which reflects where growth is anticipated and or areas that may have environmental or other constraints to development.
Yes.
And I realize also that there is an issue with drainage in that area.
Yes.
That's been brought out at the community level. And I was wondering, I think the response from the applicant is that it's actually going to improve the drainage from that site. So you have some engineering to support that?
Yeah, well, the way the site drains right now, what you have, the biggest problem is this lot here that's on Langolin Boulevard is actually not a home site. It's owned by Artesian. It's a pump station, I believe. Pump station there? Or it's a...
It's a well.
It's a monitoring well. And it's got significant flooding issues on that lot and crossing into Langolin Boulevard. So the lots here experience some drainage issues and then further into the neighborhood. The site primarily drains that way now. We're going to end up taking a significant part of the site and drain it into this direction. So you have stormwater management here, stormwater management area here. Everything's going to drain in this direction, and then there's an outfall down Route 9. So we are going to be taking a significant amount of the drainage that's on the site and taking it away from these lots. So there will be an improvement overall on the drainage of the site.
My final comment is not a question. I just find it very interesting that $5,000 is going to DART, and just for being DART.
Now remember, this goes back 7 years ago when that arrangement was
made.
Supposedly going to use it for a bus shelter.
Probably going to build a couple of them.
We didn't like it at the time because it was just a letter that said, and it wasn't related to transit. It was, we'll give you a no objection letter if you give us $5,000.
Yeah. It's a bribe.
Okay, this time we're going to hear from Co-Chair Redden and Dr. Cartier, so we can keep this meeting moving, please.
Okay, a couple things, Larry.
Couple things. Is there anything alongside the property that, you know, is there any toxic area or anything?
Any what?
Toxic area?
No. You know, this part of Route 9, you're not going to see very well, but, you know, you have some industrial uses, and historically you've had industrial uses. You have a mix of uses in that part of south of old Newcastle. You've got a shooting range. You've got some a warehouse, industrial facilities there. I think there are some sites nearby that have had environmental issues over the years. The biggest thing you have is that you're very close to the Delaware River, so you have significant wetlands and you know, high water table.
Yeah, with that, how's this ground?
What's that?
How is this ground?
What's the elevation?
Tim, is that? But drainage-wise, are we going to have basements here? I didn't think so. No, no basements.
One more question. The ground, how's it perk? Is it good perk on the ground? Take the water?
No, generally no. And there are some stormwater management facilities that are proposed that are bioretention facilities. So there will be some opportunity for infiltration into the ground, but the facilities are designed with an under-drain system, so there won't be any kind of a problem with accumulation of water.
That's Tim Anderson for the record.
Please. I got Councilman Cartier right now.
Yes, thank you. I'm trying to understand what this maintenance corporation, because I'm sure this is going to have a maintenance corporation,
yes,
is going to have to maintain. So they're going to have the stormwater facility.
Correct. Here,
uh-huh,
and here.
They're going to have this open space in the center,
yes,
with whatever type of
amenity.
Community kind of outdoor facility.
Correct.
And then how about the parking spaces?
No, they'll be on the individual lots. This is all fee simple. This is not condo, so all fee simple. And because it's not age restricted, there will not be an atypical service corporation that we do in the age restricted community that take care of your on lot maintenance. That will not be in this community.
I'm speaking about the overflow parking.
The overflow parking, yes. Well, that would be part of the maintenance association.
Maintenance corporation.
As well. Technically, it's in the right of way, but no, it'll be maintained by the maintenance corporation. There's not a lot of maintenance in this community. Very little, frankly.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. There's two competing policies here, and I think I've got them balanced in favor of your project. One is the policy of sanctity of contract and the deed restrictions and not changing what the community had promised at the time. Of course, that comes with counterbalancing the fact that there are changes in factors and there is a process to go through deed restriction changes. And we did overbuild the age-restricted market in some sectors. And also, it's important now we recognize more than we did before aging in place and intergenerational living, so that children, grandchildren, and their grandparents can all live close by, so they have support systems for each other. And we got away with that. We started isolating, you know, the seniors far away from their children and grandchildren. So in that sense, there is a countervailing factor. The tiebreaker for me is the fact that you haven't built it yet. If it had been built, I would hope that the Land Use Department Planning Board would have objected, but it isn't built. So because of that, it's clear that we should support it from a policy perspective.
Yes, and if I may add, remember, this was already rezoned. There's already an expectation that this plan is in place and that these homes, these 51 homes, would be built not using a density bonus because it's only about 2.5 homes per acre overall. So what we're doing here is to say, look, it's been 6 years, 7 years, nothing's happened. It's an opportunity to still have this property that's severely underutilized be utilized, and you're correct. Nothing's been built yet. So there's an opportunity to not change. And if you recall at the time, and you did, you were on council, obviously, Councilman Weiner, this was an opportunity that the Zocola Builders was looking to get into the active adult age-restricted market. because it was a popular market at the time. But it so it wasn't because it was a promise that we're now changing. It was because it was a marketable, just like we did at Rocky Run and Little Falls and Cloutier Court. That wasn't because it was a promise to the community. It was because the market was there for that. That value's not there, and the market's not there for that now.
Okay, Councilman Powers.
Somebody brought, you know, up, and looking at what subdivisions across the road, the elevation is probably at least 20 feet or more. But what I really, and I've said it in other meetings, I would rather see the elevations and also the soil type. And I think it's wet more because of the soil type. There's nothing.
Definitely showing. Soil type, right, Tim?
I mean, is it a Falsington clay?
No, it's not a big soils. The elevations are in the 30s.
So I was right. I said it's 20 or more.
Now down in the wet, there's a wetland area on the west
now
southern side, and then there's the Othello soils.
Othello is just off of Falsington. It's probably a little worse than Falsington.
Yeah, that's in the wetland area.
So I knew what soils it would be just looking at the map. Now, Metapeak is probably where you're building the houses on.
That's correct.
It's on. But I knew there with them wet areas, what happens is if you take a Falsington, just so you know, you may have a black hydroorganic soil this deep or 2 feet deep. But what happens to make it a Falsington is you go down about, you get into a white sand and you'll hit a gray clay. Well, the water will not go through that clay. And that's why it's wet and it won't go through.
Additional questions from members of council?
Just like Falsington.
Seeing none, turning to the public. Anybody from the public have any questions? Yes.
Irene Schultz, legal zoning voters of Newcastle County. I know that DART makes recommendations on transit stops whenever a new development comes up. And I'm wondering if the $20,000 and the $5,000 particularly were in... Did they say you should have a transit stop here, but we'll take $5,000 instead? Or no transit stops.
No transit, but we'll take $5,000 instead.
Okay.
They're not going to provide service
for future.
This is a really kind of dusty area because I've taken pictures here after big storms I've seen. Not in this particular location. I'm
further north.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The cars are up to there.
Well, would you like me to respond, Mr. Chairman? Yeah. There are areas further north that we're all familiar with. Again, Larry Tarabika is familiar with, you know, drainage problems. And there's another community up the road there that has got significant. Mm-hmm. It's a new community that Capano was proposing there, and it's got, you know, all sorts of issues or issues with the Corps of Engineers, but those are self-created issues, frankly, over there. There's a long story with that, but yeah, there as you go further north, closer to Old Newcastle, there have been some historical issues in those roads, but a lot of it has to do with old roads, old drainage systems, insufficient, inadequate drainage systems. You don't have too much in Lingle.
You're up in elevation.
Yes,
Ms. Schultz,
much higher.
Was your question directly related to this subdivision or the area in general?
The area in general, because I wasn't really sure that where I had taken pictures was at this particular place.
Right.
But much further north.
This would be south of what you're thinking.
Yes.
Highway 9 is the western boundary of the coastal zone, so, I mean, it's all a little dicey.
Yep, exactly. Do we have additional questions from members of the public? Okay, seeing none, we'll move expeditiously on to the next item on the agenda, and hopefully this applicant can look forward to seeing this controversial issue placed on the next council agenda, and I guess the sponsorship will be under council president at that point. Next item on the agenda is just replenishing
Fiat Estates.
The property remainance fund. This is really kind of cut and dry. Probably just had Ms. Fogarty talk really briefly on this and where the money came from and just how we're replenishing this for the benefit of council.
Okay. I'm not as far as to start this.
Well, they might pick that up by your voice, but unless you state your
name. It's a GM for the fund that we use to we collect fines and fees, and we go out and do work and cut the grass and fix and patch and repair and do things on a regular basis through our code enforcement folks. It's a revolving fund for all intents and purposes. It allows us to, some operating capital to continue to work as all this. Kind of short and sweet. Most of you have, in your council medic districts, probably at the benefit of having at least some of that money used to cut the grass or to board up a house or to do something of property maintenance and property maintenance work.
Mr. Haggerty, have you explored any the feasibility, I guess, as to why would those fees come back in when they're recaptured on a daily basis? Aren't they going into a fund already within you as opposed to having to, I guess, they're sent back and then you have to do an ordinance to replenish that fund? Why don't you just keep the fund evergreen and revolving while you have it?
Ed Milowicki would probably be better to address that than I would, but I'll just say from our standpoint, we're one government, and wherever the funds come from or wherever we go, they go, but they're just one government.
Yeah, Ed Milowicki from the finance office. This is the part of the annual tax plan that goes out. There are liens put on property, as Mr. Haggerty said, over a certain amount of dollars, and when there's money to come back in, county when the tax bills are paid, that amount that refers back to those liens, fines on the property, are received back into the general fund. And then in order to spend that money, we have to appropriate or budget that money. So we do an ordinance to give them additional spending authority to spend that money. I think that's how it is.
Additional questions from members of council? Councilman Cartier?
Certainly, this has been a very successful program undertaken by Department of Land Use, working with our code enforcement and abatement program. And I guess my question is more going to the financial aspect. So we're purportedly revolving the fund, but we have to appropriate the money. Are we in balance with that amount of money we're taking in from abatements, fines, all those kind of things, liens? With the fund that we appropriate, or funding we're going to appropriate.
Yeah. Not counting this $200,000, we have taken in as far as revenues between fines and also some general fund money also was put in here at one time. We've taken in about $1,252,000 of revenues from various sources, and we have spent $1,239,000. So, and then this is an additional $200,000 that we have received so far this year due to the annual tax billing. To recoup this money, that's going to be added to this. So we're almost dollar for dollar taking in money and spending it.
So we're on an annual basis, we're spending about $1.2 million or so.
But that's from the $1.2 million is from the beginning of time.
Inception. Okay.
From the inception of the date of this.
Thank you.
Additional questions, Councilman Sheldon?
Only one of said today, so don't get mad. You just got to use them where or something.
Well, the meeting's dragging on a lot longer than they usually might.
I know. I guess this is for Ed. Doesn't the instant ticking money go, the fines, so to speak, go into this fund, or does this just go to general fund?
No, I'm not looking from the finance office. That is what this money is. It's the instant ticketing money. There's a portion of
it. But you were told, somebody said liens on a property also.
In order to put those on the tax bill, annual tax bill, the general manager of land use signs liens every year about the midsummer before the tax bill. I think it's over $5,000, I think. It's a dollar. And she signs, all these liens are signed and attached to that property. Then when the tax billings go out, you have the property taxes, and you see this these instant ticking fines on there.
But we should also be recouping some money back once we go board a house up and we charge.
Well, that's what this is.
Somebody, okay, I know that, but yeah. I was kind of hoping we had more money in there, but I guess we don't.
We had the 1 year last year where we, 2012, we built very little out. If you remember, there was an issue about the program itself.
Right.
This past year. 2013 tax billing that went out, there was $480,000 billed out. To date, we received $336,000 of that money. So,
okay, thanks.
they ever spend anything?
Okay, we have any questions from members of the public? Seeing none. Anybody bring anything today they want to discuss under other? Do we have any public comment?
Let me get on the record as being here. Motion to adjourn.
Are we? Julie. Got a second?
Second.
All right.
Okay. Let's go. All right.